Let's take our Bibles this morning, turn to John chapter 15. Talking this morning about abiding in the vine. We're going to read verses 1 through 8 as we get started this morning, then we're going to try to understand this passage as the Holy Spirit gives us understanding. John chapter 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Where herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As I was studying this passage this week, two questions came to my mind. First of all, what does it mean to produce fruit? And secondly, what does it mean to abide in Christ? We're going to look at those questions this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's steadfast, it is sure, it is solid, it is unchanging, just as your character is. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your holiness. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your justice and your faithfulness. Thank you for the privilege of being here together this morning to worship you and to spend time studying your word to learn more about you. Father, I pray that you'd help me to be clear and accurate in what I say. Pray that you would allow only those things said that you want to be said this morning, that you would be honored and glorified through this time, and you would encourage and challenge our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Our family took a trip many years ago to Washington State to visit some friends, and we drove along the northern part of the state of Washington. We drove through an area called the Yakima Valley, which is known for many, around the world, for many varieties of apples. They grow apples that are shipped around the world. You drive through those roads, and you drive miles and miles and miles of orchards, and you see these orchards on both sides of the roads through this valley. But the interesting thing about all of those trees was not that there were so many, but it was the appearance of the trees. Because as you looked at those trees, you know, normally when you think of a fruit tree, what do you think of? You see pictures of fruit trees, and you see photographs, and you think this beautiful fruit tree, perfectly shaped, and apples or whatever hanging off the limbs, and it's just so beautiful. But as we drove by these miles and miles of fruit trees out there, they're actually pretty ugly. They were opened, what they call open-centered trees, and so they had taken everything out of the center of the tree, and they had basically kept everything to where the branches grew out like this, and it was just a few branches, and it kind of formed a bowl shape, but it was kept to the height where the workers could reach the fruit. And you still look at those trees, and you said, how in the world are those trees ever going to produce any apples? But every year, they do. We have a fruit tree in our yard, an apple tree in our yard here in Ogden. And when we first moved there, that tree was probably 25 feet tall. And when it would bloom, it would have the most beautiful blossoms on it as an apple tree would. But the problem was, the tree was so big, and there was so much of it, and we don't get enough rain in the summertime to water the whole tree. I mean, we get enough rain because the Lord gives us what we need, but the rain wasn't sufficient to get all the moisture that tree needed for the fruit. And so the apples were probably a little bigger than a golf ball. And then they, because it didn't have the moisture, they would fall off the tree before they ripened, before there was time to pick them. And so a couple years ago, I went and I basically gave that tree a big haircut. I mean, I pruned it way back, and I had a pile of branches that would probably cover a good side of the stage. But the thing is, the next year, the apples were bigger, and they stayed on the tree until it was time to pick them. Well, then again, this last winter, I pruned it again because it needed to be pruned. There were things that needed to be cleaned off the tree. Now, the tree looks ugly. It doesn't have all that huge blossoms that it had before. Now, it does have blossoms on it this week. And what's there is looking healthy. And we didn't have an apple tree in our yard just because we wanted to have the look of the tree. We wanted some apples. And so it needed to be pruned. The land of Israel has a lot of vineyards. And Jesus used the illustration of a vine here to teach his disciples truth. And he begins by saying, "I am the true vine." They're obviously wild vines. They were vines that produced no fruit. And perhaps they were not taken care of by the owner. And in the spiritual sense, there are wild vines as well. There are those who make claims to have the truth, but as time goes on, it's shown that they're deceivers, they're liars. They're not part of that true vine, part of branches tied to the true vine. We could refer back to John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There was no other way, and there will be no other way. There never will be to have a relationship with the Father. No truth about God and man, no new abundant life except through Jesus Christ. We'll see that same principle come up here in this passage. But Jesus goes on to point out here in this chapter 15 that the Father is the husbandman. Christ is the vine. The Father is the husbandman. He's the vine dresser. He's the one who takes care of the vine and the branches. And that gives proof to the fact that the work that is done in our hearts and lives is the work of God. It's not that we have to sit there and we have to concentrate. We have to figure out how we're going to produce fruit. God does the work in our hearts to produce fruit. We have to yield ourselves to Him. We have to submit ourselves to His hand if we're going to be fruitful as a Christian. But the first one thing I want to look at this morning, I want to answer the question, what does it mean to produce fruit? Verse 2 begins by talking about the work of the Father. He says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." The first thing that a husbandman does is to determine which branches are actually producing fruit. Now, I don't know a lot about grapevines. I've never had grapevines growing up and never knew much about them. But I know about apple trees. I know with apple trees, there are certain branches that don't bear fruit. There are certain branches, all they're there to do is to suck up the moisture, take up the moisture from the branches that do bear the fruit. And so those branches have to be removed. And the husbandman will remove those branches so that the branches that do produce fruit can do what they need to do. And now there's a spiritual application here that Jesus intends, and he's saying those who profess to be believers but are not producing spiritual fruit in their lives, the Father will remove them. Now, he removed them in a different ways. He might remove them through church discipline. He might remove them, allow them to fall into temptation. He might allow them to fall away. He might bring persecution and tribulation in their lives, which often has a clarifying effect with people who are saying they're believers, but they're really not. We were reading this week on a persecution in some foreign lands. And one of the comments that one of the people that had been suffering persecution made was, "Persecution will weed out those who are just professors and not those who are true believers." And that's what happens sometimes. He may remove them through death. The Bible talks about that, how Christ will remove those who are not producing fruit. He may remove them through death so that they cannot shame the name of Christ. Sometimes people are nominal Christians or Christians in name only. They say, "Well, I'm a believer." We go to somebody who'd walk down the street and say, "Are you a Christian?" "Yes." But the problem is the definition of Christian in our society today has gotten so broad that people think they fall under that umbrella of being a Christian. But eventually they are removed because of falsehood. One example of a nominal Christian in the Bible is Judas. Judas fooled the disciples for 3.5 years. And they thought, well, surely Judas is one of us. Until it came down to the money. And Judas was attracted to the money. And as a result, he fell away. He was removed from the vine because he never was a true believer. But Jesus continues on in verse 2 to say that even those who are producing fruit have to go through a purging or a purifying process or a pruning process in order to produce more fruit. And so the husband has a twofold job here. He removes the unneeded branches, or the branches that aren't producing fruit, but he trims up and he purges the branches that are producing fruit so they will produce more. Pruning might be compared to chastening, and it's not an enjoyable process. We go through that in our spiritual lives where God chastens us, God cleanses us. We read his word and say, and he shows us something that needs to change, and we fight against it. But God, I don't want it change. And he says, but you need to change. And chastening isn't a fun process. It's not enjoyable, but we need it. It's necessary for us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So what does it mean to produce fruit? What does it mean for us to be fruitful in our Christian lives? Now remember, we're talking specifically about producing good fruit here. John chapter 4, verse 35 and 36 says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. What is the fruit that we can produce as believers? Sharing the gospel is a way that we can produce fruit. Romans chapter 6, verse 22 says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Holiness and obedience are examples of fruit in our lives. When we're living a life that shows, reflects God's holiness, and living in obedience to him, we're living a fruitful life. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So the fruit that is produced as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit is fruit that is produced in our lives. And then Colossians 1:10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So our good works are fruit. Our good works don't earn us salvation, but our good works are evidence, they're fruit of our salvation. Hebrews 13:15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so our praise to God that is given from our hearts and from our mouths is given as fruit to the glory of God. So what is it to produce fruit? What does it mean to produce fruit? It is to act, to talk, to think, and to walk like a Christian. It's demonstrating the name that we claim. It's not to do anything that would bring a reproach to the name of Christ, anything that would cause somebody to say, ah, see, you aren't doing what you think you should be doing. You're not doing what a Christian should do either. More specifically, producing fruit means we're producing fruit in our lives we're living our lives as Christ would live. We're living our lives in this world as Christ would live. It's responding to Christ as Christ would respond when someone's personality gets under our skin. And learning to respond graciously. Do you ever have somebody who just, it's learning to respond as Christ would respond. How many times did the Pharisees come to Christ to try to accuse him, to try to trip him up? He never got on edge. He never got angry with them. He simply answered them with biblical truth. He said, this is what it is. But being a Christian, producing spiritual fruit, is responding as Christ would respond. It's thinking rightly about others who may not look like we think they should look, or realize there's a greater need there. You know, sometimes we look at somebody walking down the street and they go, oh, that's disgusting. Do we ever think about it in the fact that maybe there's a greater need in their lives? Maybe there's something we can do to make a difference for Christ. Producing fruit is responding with a soft answer rather than an angry tongue. It's rejoicing with blessings that others receive rather than envy that they received it and not us. It's conducting ourselves in a way that it's not a stumbling block to others. That's producing fruit. When we plant an apple tree, we expect apples. When we plant a grapevine, we expect to get grapes. And when God saves a man or a woman, he expects the fruit from their lives to be evidence of their faith. He wants them to produce fruit. So how do we produce fruit? How do we become fruit-bearing Christians? We know that fruit, being fruitful, is being like a Christian, being like Christ, but how do we produce that fruit? Verses 4 and 5 help us to understand the answer to that. It says, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So to answer our second question, what does it mean to abide in Christ? The word abide means to stay. In other words, it means it takes some time. You don't just go and you get what you need and leave. When you abide in Christ, you're there for a time. You're there for a while. You're there for an extended amount of time. It implies a process of growth. You know, when we look at our apple tree this week, it's got blossoms on it. I'm not going out this week to pick fruit. Okay? It's going to take some time for that fruit to grow, for that fruit to develop, that fruit to be ready to harvest. God's work of producing fruit is not automatic. When we become a Christian, there's not automatic maturity in our lives. Neither is it immediate. In order to see fruit produced in our lives, we need to have patience. It takes time. We must also realize that producing fruit is not determined by the branches. Jesus says we cannot produce fruit unless we abide in him. 2 Corinthians 3, 2 through 5 says, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. And here's the point I want to make with this verse. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And so it's not within us to produce fruit. It's as we submit ourselves to Christ, as we submit ourselves to his work in our lives and the Holy Spirit's work, that fruit is produced. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. To abide is to keep in constant fellowship with Christ so that he can work in and through us. A branch draws its life from the vine, and the life that we have as a Christian is drawn from Christ. And I trimmed that tree this past winter, and I trimmed off those branches. You know what? Those branches laid in a pile in my yard, and I didn't see any blossoms or any buds start on those branches because they were disconnected from the vine. The only way that we can produce fruit is if we stay connected to the vine. We stay in fellowship with the vine. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Galatians 2, 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This thought came to me as I was going over this again this morning. When you have a grapevine, you have the vine and you have the branches. If that husbandman were to go out and he were to just cut that vine off at the ground, is he going to get any grapes that year? No. That vine has to stay, and with Christ as the vine, that vine is always going to be there. That vine is never going to be cut down. That vine is never going to be removed. It's the branches that have to abide in the vine. The branches have to depend on the vine. And if we must abide in Christ in order to produce fruit, what means does he use to produce that fruit? How do we produce fruit? If we abide in the vine, how does Christ produce fruit through abiding in the vine? Psalm 119:9. Actually, let me share a couple other verses here in chapter 15, verse 3. Jesus says, "Now you are clean through what? Through the word, which I have spoken unto you." Also in verse 7, he says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." So it's the word of God that Jesus uses to produce fruit. If we abide in him, it's the word of God that produces fruit. And it's through him that we are purified so that we might bring forth fruit. Let me share with you Psalm 119, 1 through 16. I was reading that this morning. I thought, you know what? That really explains what abiding looks like. Psalm 119, 1 says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." That's what abiding looks like. It's being consumed. It's spending our time that we can with God, in God's word, reading it, meditating on it, memorizing it. Christ is the word of God, and it is through him that we are purified, that we might bring forth more fruit. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Why? "The man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." And it seems like such a basic truth. So we produce fruit. The way we produce fruit is we act like a Christian. We walk like a Christian. We think, we talk like a Christian. To produce fruit, we must abide in the vine, which means we stay in fellowship with God. We mean to stay in his word. It seems like such a basic truth, but we have to apply it in order for us to bear fruit to the glory of God. If we don't abide in Christ, if we don't say, "Well, I'll read the word later," or I'll catch up on it later, or I'll get my fill in church on Sunday mornings, and then don't go and read any more throughout the week, we're not abiding. We need to have it regularly. We need to have it faithfully, daily. If we don't abide in Christ, or rather we abide in something else, we'll produce fruit for sure. But the fruit that we produce by abiding in something other than Christ will be perishable fruit. Romans 6:21 and 22 says, "For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." That's the fruit we had before we knew Christ. Our fruit was to death. Romans 7:5, "For when ye were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." It wasn't good fruit, it was perishable fruit. What are the evidences that we're abiding in Christ? What are the evidences that we're producing the right kind of fruit? Back in chapter 15 of John, verse 2, says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." And so one of the evidences is that we're producing fruit. If we're abiding in Christ, we're producing fruit. We're acting and thinking and talking like a Christian should talk and act and think. But also in verse 2, if we're abiding in Christ, if we're producing fruit, we're experiencing the Father's pruning. And we say, but I don't enjoy that. Yes, but look at how fruitful you're becoming because you're enduring the Father's pruning. We remember that God sees the big picture. God sees the end result. God knows what he's trying to make us to. And so we allow ourselves to be pruned, allow ourselves to be purged. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29 and 30 says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. You see, God knows what's going to happen. God knows the end result. God knows what he wants to do with our lives. And so if we are producing fruit, if we are abiding in Christ, we are experiencing the Father's pruning. Another evidence of abiding in Christ is in verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We will see answers to prayer. We are abiding in Christ. We pray according to his will, as it says in chapter 14, verse 13. We pray according to what the Father wants. We're in communication. We're in union with the Father. And we see answers to prayer. In chapter 15, verse 9, another evidence of abiding in Christ is a greater love for God and a love for others. It says in verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Another evidence is that we have everlasting, abundant joy. Verse 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And so we have that joy that can't be taken away by circumstances, can't be taken away by other people. That's an evidence that we are abiding in Christ. And then one other was in verse 8 here, where it says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. When we abide in Christ, when we bear fruit, God is glorified. And we show that we are his disciples. And so in summary of this morning, what does it mean to produce fruit? To produce fruit is to think, to act, to talk, and walk like a Christian. It's demonstrating the name that we claim. It's not doing anything to bring a doubt in a person's mind that we are a Christian. More specifically, producing fruit is to live our lives as Christ would live. And what does it mean to abide in Christ? To abide is to keep in constant fellowship with Christ so that he can work in and through us. It's to stay in his word, allow it to teach us, to allow it to correct us and cleanse us and conform us to be like Christ. I want to ask this morning, are you producing fruit? Are you abiding in Christ? I trust you'll evaluate those questions in your own mind. Say, God, help me to produce the fruit you want me to produce. Help me to abide in you. Help me to spend the time I need in your word. Grow me, teach me, correct me. Search my heart that I might produce the fruit you'd have in my life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you choose to use us to do the work that you'd have to be done. Father, help us to abide in the vine, that we might produce the fruit that you want produced in our lives and in the lives of others. Father, pray that you would help us to follow the things that you've told us to do. Father, there's someone here this morning, maybe they don't know you as Savior. Maybe they aren't producing fruit. Maybe they're not abiding in the vine because they don't have a relationship with you. Father, please work in their hearts to bring them to that point where they'll trust you as Savior, that they too can produce fruit, that you want them to produce that fruit that will bring the joy and the love and the growth that you want in their lives. And we thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.